Hi, I'm Willis Kern. Thanks for choosing Sound Money on GLT, and thanks for listening to the Sound Money Podcast.
Support for GLT comes from Justin M. Boyd, financial representative at Country Financial, offering clients a one-on-one experience to meet all of their financial and insurance needs. Auto, home, life, business, and retirement options. More at facebook.com/Justin Boyd Country. This is GLT.
Serving as our guide through this review of 2016 in business is Edgar Norton. He's director of Illinois State University's Business for Financial Planning and Analysis. Edgar, let's get to the countdown, starting with the 10th biggest business news story of the past year, online wealth management services, or for shorthand, something that's known as robo-advising. What happened in this field in 2016?
Well, it's gaining more and more prominence. It's a way to, if you will, computerize some basic financial planning advice. Someone needs help with investing. How should I invest my money? You can go to any one of a number of robo-advising websites. If you just Google that term, and you'll find the companies that are involved in this, and they'll deal with you. They'll help you to structure a portfolio, and they'll help you rebalance it over time. So if the stock market goes way up and your portfolio gets overweighted in stocks, they'll automatically reweight or rebalance the portfolio so it stays in line with your risk tolerance. It's really a poor man's wealth advisor, if you will. For some financial planners, you can't talk to them unless you have a certain dollars of wealth, and for many of us, they're just kind of out of our reach, and so this is a way to let computers do the talking, if you will, and give us advice.
Poor man's wealth advisement. I love the irony in that statement right there. So this is something that typically has been performed by a real person, maybe someone you would hire. You'd go to their office. Now you can skip that step.
Correct. And with fees, either as a percent of the money, if I come in there with a $10,000 portfolio, that's not worth a real person's time, if you will, to deal with me. But the robo-advisor will do it, and then they will take a small fee. But it's much cheaper than it would be if I was talking with a human being. That said, if I have a bigger portfolio, or if I have insurance issues or tax issues, or how to best put my kid through college or prepare for, then I better talk to a real person, and I may have to write a check for that.
So robo-advising, something that really took off during 2016. Number nine, I guess somewhat connected with that, is something called passive investing. What's that about?
Passive investing is indexing. Rather than trying to put your money with a mutual fund or with a financial advisor who tries to buy low and sell high, you just put your money in the stock market, in a stock market index or a bond market index, and go along for the ride. You don't try to time individual stocks or even the market as a whole.
And it's more of an automated process, maybe?
It's not quite set it and forget it. You do want to do some rebalancing every so often. Again, if the stock market does well, you may want to take some money out of the stock market and put it back in the bond market. So that's where the robo-advising or just being on top of your investments might be important. A lot of data, a lot of research has shown that it's really, really tough to beat the market when you consider the expenses and tax issues involved in investing. Studies show that those actively traded mutual funds or actively managed mutual funds just can't beat the index. In the past year or two, the Vanguard 500 fund, which invests in the S&P 500, has become the largest stock mutual fund out there, showing that more and more people, perhaps guided by financial advisors or just by their own research, are showing that, hey, if you can't beat them, join them. I'm just going to buy the index and go along for the ride and not try to beat it. Just a quick stat, about two-thirds of the actively managed mutual funds out there don't beat the S&P 500 over a 10-year time frame. Over a 20-year time frame, it's like 4 out of 5 are losers. They're below average. And so why would you invest and expect to see minus or D? And so people are saying, let's go with passive investing and let's index.
Speaking of minus, that leads us to story number 8 on our list of the top 10 business stories of 2016, interest rates that are in the negative territory. What's going on here?
Well, again, this isn't so much an old story, but a continuing story that has gotten a bit worse, perhaps, in the past year. We've had negative interest rates in the Eurozone since 2014. Denmark and Switzerland have added on, and Japan went negative in 2016 with negative interest rates trying to stimulate the economy. As you may know, in our own U.S. economy, the Fed has tried to keep interest rates very low. until mid-December when they decided to raise interest rates. But we've had historic low interest rates in the U.S. to try to stimulate the economy and get people borrowing and get businesses investing in themselves again by borrowing money. It hasn't worked all that well. And so some countries are saying, hey, get your money out of the bank. We're going to charge you if your money is in the bank. We want you to go out there and spend it and invest it elsewhere. And so this is monetary policy really on steroids, trying to lower that interest rate to negative territory. It is brand new for most economists.
And how has it been working, would you say, for the most part in 2016?
Sluggishly. It hasn't been working all that well. The EU is still not producing as well as we are. The U.S. is coming out of its funk for a variety of reasons. Perhaps we've seen an increase in employment and economic activity. Japan, with negative interest rates, is still having some economic issues. So we need something else to help jumpstart these economies besides just low interest rates.
And we're going to see more positive rate increases from the Fed in the coming year.
They've promised us some further rate increases in 2017, and so that's a sign that they believe the economy is finally getting stronger.
Number 7 on the list of top 10 business stories of 2016, blockchain technology. Now, this has a lot to do with online commerce and cybersecurity. Tell us a little bit about what blockchain technology is and why was it such a big story in the past year?
Well, blockchain was developed perhaps in line with Bitcoin. The Bitcoin cryptocurrency uses this relational database technology to try to keep track of how many Bitcoins are out there and to make sure nobody is counterfeiting or stealing Bitcoins. But blockchain technology has a great many applications, payments between companies across country borders, because there's always a concern if I'm doing business with someone in some country in Europe, are they paying me on time? Are they paying me real currency? And so this blockchain thing knows the bill is out there, the bill is going to be paid. It helps with some of the transactional issues. I've even read of a case where, that helped provide a veracity, if you will, to academic transcripts. At least one college out there was thinking about using this blockchain technology. And it's beyond me, but basically it's a humongous database that's set up in a way so that if one piece of data is not in line with what the other computers are saying, chances are that one piece of data is incorrect. And so if I hack into one computer system and play with its data, it, in theory, will be discovered by the blockchain system, and that erroneous data will be corrected. So it's an attempt to try to strengthen security.
And as we talk about cybersecurity, this might be a place for us to at least mention the issues that Yahoo has had over the past year. Earlier this year in the fall, they announced a breach that had actually occurred a few years ago, and then they updated that in December with the talk of a billion users. So we're talking about probably just about everybody who's had a Yahoo account being affected by these cybersecurity issues.
And there's always, every few months, not just Yahoo, but some major corporations been hacked into, and now I've read where health records are been hacked into as well as financial records.
Number 6 on a list of the top 10 business stories of the year, the carbon energy collapse. What has happened in this area during 2016, Edgar?
Again, this is a story that was developing a few years ago and has continued here in 2016. Back in the good old days of 2014, well, maybe if you're an oil producer, the good old days back in 2014, oil was well over $90, almost $100 a barrel. It fell in 2015, and it fell even more into the $30 range here in 2016. And so the fracking boom and such has really just helped to drive energy prices down. But there's also some other issues there, not just lower oil prices. Gas prices have come down very much over the last few years. But there's another energy story out there, and that's what's been happening to the coal sector as regulations have really, decimated the coal sector and the power plants that use coal to help generate power. So there's really two stories here. Well, I guess one is cheaper energy for some and some energy headaches for others if you're using the other carbon-based method of trying to run a power plant.
And when it comes to discussing energy-related matters, it's kind of a tease to one of the top stories of 2016 as we advance into the next segment when we'll talk about the top five. One of those will be dealing with really a Central Illinois situation that relates to energy. We'll have that coming up in the next list of items when we talk again. An impressive list of business stories, but five bigger ones from last year in the business news are ahead, and we'll examine those the next time during Sound Money. Edgar Norton is director of ISU's Institute for Financial Planning and Analysis. Edgar, we look forward to continuing the list.
Thank you, Willis.
I'm Willis Kern.